Not a game. We talking about practice.
Now it's time for the takeover.
Buckle up for Kobe. Kobe Bryant just sucked the gravity out of the target center.
Not the game. We talking about practice, man.
That's a stretch play. Dodgers have won it all in 2020. Oh, what a shot from Curry. Diggs. Sideline. Touchdown.
The return to glory.
Now it's time for the takeover.
Well, Dak, here's the deal. I'm the best there is, plain and simple. I mean, I wake up in the morning, I piss excellence. If you ain't first, you're last.
And there you have it, folks. It's episode 161 of the Takeover Sports Podcast. Welcome back. I'm your host, Ryan Seekert, and we have another very, very special episode. And before we get to the guest, Sean, the man that makes it happen.
Yeah.
Behind the scenes, how are you doing, my man?
Dude, I'm doing great. It's super hot out right now, and I'm not loving it.
Oh, why? How come? Are you not like a, are you a winter guy?
I like the summer. It just is a little too hot right now, and I'm not by water, so It's hard to enjoy the heat without water near me. I'm walking in my car or driving home, it's just, and my car doesn't have AC right now, so.
Oh, see, that'll do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know what, Sean? I think you got to just do what I do. You got to ice out the hands. That's all it takes. Now, I don't feel hot. I feel nice and cool, calm and collected over here.
I would too.
And for those of you watching, you're probably wondering, Ryan, how'd you get on those rings? Well, guess what? I don't know if you read the title to the video. The very special guest. And Sean, I know it's not about us, right?
No.
It's about Dr. Chris Haskell. Boise State Esports, don't know if you guys have heard, the Esports team has joined the Athletics Club. And Doc, what do you think?
I like it. That'll keep you cool for sure. Iced out.
I'm chilled.
Let's go.
So, yeah, folks, these are not mine. I think you probably put two and two together there. These are Doc's. These are all of the awards that he has won, whether it's Mountain West Championship. These are individual rings. You kind of want to actually, I don't want to speak for you. But
No. I mean, really, they represent a team during a season. Sometimes there are a couple of things represented on a single ring, but those are our Boise State students really the piece that commemorates their incredible season where they have won at least a conference championship. Some of those represent national championships and world championship qualifiers where they've had tremendous seasons. But our rings begin just like everyone in athletics. We grant rings when you win a Mountain West Conference.
Okay. And
there are a few there.
And looking at my hand right now, is there any ring that sticks out the most to you or one that's the most memorable?
You know what? There's a gold one there that jumps out. And I answer this question differently every time I get asked. But that is the World Championships in Dallas, Texas, with Emiliano Flores and Gabriel Reynolds and Kyle Ady. We got to go down there and compete against 15 of the other top schools in the world. Germany won it that year, but to be included in a world championship, that's something I would never have imagined in the beginning. And so extra proud. And that, like all those rings, they represent the experience of our Boise State students doing something really special. And everybody who has one of those rings, which include Jeremiah Dickey and our president, university president, and all the players and all the coaches, we all share in that experience uniquely. And they kind of serve as an emblem that we can talk about that experience together. They're pretty cool.
These are pretty sweet.
Evidently, my sweet wife, Allie, says I am not allowed to wear them at Costco. I don't know where that's written. I don't think that's in the terms of service at Costco for my membership, but she says it's not cool to do that. So
just Costco.
Or anywhere in public. She says only at esports events.
I was going to say, I thought she was just like, hey, just Costco.
Yeah.
You can wear them anywhere else but Costco.
Right.
I think the champion can do what he wants.
I was going to say, yeah. Get him a free hot dog.
I agree. And I do whatever I want as long as Allie says she's cool with it.
Yeah. Smart man.
Yeah.
So the news I had mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to kind of go back on that. I mean, when was it officially announced? 2 days ago? 3 days ago?
Yeah. It was geared for the 7th. I think it finally got dropped on the 8th, but We've been cooking that for a while, really since Jeremiah Dickey and Cody Gogler got here. They eyed us from the very start. We had a meeting in like the opening weeks before they started the big tour with the intent of having this conversation and seeing if there was a forever home in athletics.
And now that it's official, Doc, what have the feelings been for you these last 48, 72 hours?
Busy. The feeling that I expected, which I haven't gotten, was that there would be some pushback. Maybe the best feeling of all is that it's been almost unanimous. Yeah, that makes complete sense. Oh, that's a great spot, which is not a conversation we would have had 8 years ago. You know, we were caught up in the, well, are they really student athletes if they're gamer? People don't ask that question anymore. We've kind of come past that. And so it's been a great feeling, right?
Absolutely. And that's, I'm glad that, yeah, you didn't get that, because I'm sure that's the one thing you're maybe a little nervous about. And, you know, video games itself has always kind of had like a, yeah, are they athletes and this and that? And what do you say to those people that do have like the negative look on it?
I don't. It's kind of a flat earth conversation. It doesn't really impact my day. The sun goes up, sun goes down. I mean, we work to get ready to play every team that we play to, you know, to position ourselves for the Mountain West. And what people think of that doesn't really factor into it. It's never fun to have to like step back for a conversation. But when you think about the way we do it, if you don't know the game or the field that they play on, you know, the digital field they play on, it can be a little bit confusing. But once you see what we do, it's everything else you know. It's basketball, it's football, it's softball. 20 hours a week, 24 weeks of contact, grade point expectations, Bronco code. We recruit, we scholarship, we, you know, team meetings, practices, playbooks, film review, full schedule. I mean, it is what you know sports to be. It's just that the field looks a little different.
That is so awesome.
Yeah.
And for the folks that are, you know, heavy football fans that maybe don't know, you guys have blue turf in your arena too.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, I mean, it is Boise State coated no matter what.
Absolutely. Well, if it's not broke, don't fix it.
Exactly. The Smurf turf, virtual, in person, well, you name it.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like pandering, but it is absolutely not. We have the most clear-cut playbook of how to do it right, and it's always come from the athletics department. Right, it started back in my day with Gene Blainmeyer and that whole crew. Skip Hall was my first football coach, right, when I was an undergrad here. But they've always done it real well through Peterson all the way through to Coach D. Mm-hmm. They know how to do it right, and so we just like, well, what do they do? From the start, we have used the athletic player handbook, right? We just go through and modify a couple things for our location, but if it's not broke, don't fix it.
It's that blue collar mentality.
It really is. And our jackets even say blue collar on the inside. We borrow against that all the time.
That is.
Because it works.
I was going to say, you guys, national champions, I mean, esports recruiting.
Right?
Yeah. So break this down for me. Because, you know, with football, basketball, you know, you got the game film.
Yeah.
Everyone's applying to all these colleges. You got the scouts. So with esports, do you have a scouting department? Are you going and seeing these clips like on social media of these kids, you know, going viral for these, you know, clutch moments or these, you know, Overwatch, you know, gameplays? How are you finding these students that you want to join your team?
So I want to circle back to the social media part, but I want to answer your question. There are recruiting organizations, the Stay Plugged Ins of the world, that do these, you know, national recruiting searches, League OS, and some of those that try to promote their players to you so that you know who they are. And those are good. I mean, we meet some folks that way. There are like AAU equivalents of esports that we get to know those coaches and those teams and get in good with them and get to meet people. The pro scene is also another really strong place because we have so many minors, like pre-college age folks, playing in the pros. And so we get to meet them through their coaches. It like all levels of coaching and recruiting, it makes a lot of sense to have good relationships at every level that you can, right, to help each other out. And so we do that. But the games do a really good job of telling us who's good, who's grandmaster, who's challenger, mm-hmm. who's at the top level of the competitive game. But that's only part of it. Because there are a lot of people who can play the game well, but that doesn't mean that they can play well with other people. And championships are won by teams that play well together. In fact, at the top level of every game, the speed of recognition, communication, and execution, that this needs to be what happens now, let's execute it, and everybody knows what they need to do. Mm-hmm. The speed of that is what determines who those champions are. So mm-hmm. that team has to be, they can't complain, they can't blame, they can't do all the stuff that happens when people struggle sometimes and fall apart. They've got to be the best at playing together. And so that's something we can't find out in the game, and we have to bring them into practices so we can have practices. They don't have to be on campus for that. We can get them on a webcam, and we just try to find out what kind of character they are. Usually when we're recruiting something, the very first question that we ask, which is very telling, is what's your GPA?
Mm.
It tells us two things real fast. One, are they committed to the obligation they have in front of them, and what's their support system like? Because, I mean, you can get straight A's without any parental support, but it's really rare,
mm-hmm.
right? Or you have to be independently driven, or there has to be another support system around you to be that successful. GPA helps us really understand. And if we've got a freshman or like sophomore who's like starting to think about college, and we ask them about GPA and they're sitting at a 3.1 and they're kind of sheepish, then they've got time to turn it around.
Yeah.
And we just tell them that's the difference, right? If mm-hmm. we've got a chance between, you know, you're a top 500 and this other player's top 500 and you're a 3.1 and they're a 3.8, we can scholarship at a much higher level, a 3.8, because we can access all the other scholarships, you know, all the Boise State academic scholarships and things like that. So grades are really important. But you mentioned, I want to give you space so you can ask any follow-ups. But I'll pivot to social media.
Okay, this is good. Oh yeah.
So you should be taking some notes here because I think you still have eligibility. I'm just going to throw that out.
Oh.
We know Sean does as well, but the VOG. But social media tells us a lot about how they play well with others, right? And their awareness of what they do and what it means to other people. We know that every person who comes in is a brand of their own, and we want to know what that brand is coming. It doesn't mean if somebody says something stupid, we can't say, hey, I would erase that. And right, there's always teaching opportunities, but mm-hmm. you can tell if somebody's toxic if they're constantly just, you know, poop posting or going at people in replies or something like that. We care about that kind of stuff because we're looking for good character people. We can fix somebody who is pretty good at the game but may not have one or two technical elements. But if they're not dialed into whatever the program is, and sometimes that program is just, look, I represent my family, I represent my high school, I can't be an idiot. That's a program that someone would lock into. Then they're probably not a good fit for us. Insert other university. They'd be great at insert other university.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's so interesting.
It's pretty rich. And one of our coaches, Kelsey Mosier, was a 10-year vet of top-level League of Legends for Evil Geniuses, for 100 Thieves. She's amazing. And she doesn't put up with that garbage either. So
nice.
We recruit the right people to come to Boise State.
Okay. And last recruiting question.
Yes.
So are you recruiting, you know, because there's multiple games that you guys mm-hmm. play. Or do you want like the whole scale of every game that they play, or are you looking for individual games that they could be good at?
Yeah.
Or are they playing multiple games? How, like, what's your judgment?
I mean, it's probably like Coach Rice does. We are recruiting a strong forward. We're recruiting somebody who plays a role, very specific, and probably already in the system that we run, right? We look at, the hero or agent history of a Valorant player, and right, oh, okay, they're a controller. We're trying to fill a controller. We want somebody with a lot of high-level performance on a controller. It doesn't mean somebody can't move from a DN to a tight end, right?
Right.
They understand the game. They can do those things. We just may have to teach them some things. But we do recruit specific positions and specific games.
Okay.
Is your mind blown a little bit?
It is. Well, yeah. And it's so interesting because when you mention all that stuff, it's like, okay, I can actually like see that now.
Yeah.
Because there's a whole side to esports a lot of people don't know about. Yeah. But it's right in front of us.
And I mean, listen, I'm a 54-year-old head coach of esports. It is the thing we all know. It's just that we're surprised to see it in there because when we're standing over the shoulder of someone, you know, yelling at their party on Fortnite, you know, because they got downed and they're about to get thirsted, then it's like it doesn't feel like sports at that point. But when you're getting ready to play Michigan State, it has to be the sports that we know.
Yeah. And by the way, you look great for 54.
Thank you.
I was gonna say that.
Thank you.
Lying.
I'll take it.
You're lying. No way.
Yeah, I'm old.
I was gonna say 45. Yeah. Now in the middle of the game time.
Yeah.
Right in the heat of the battle. You're standing behind your team, right?
Yep.
And no, so I know they all have headsets. Are they all in a party together?
Yeah.
And can they hear you as well? Like, I'm sure.
Yes.
Okay.
So kind of like football, there are periods of time where you can communicate with your players and when you can't. And we honor that. It's also governed by the tech a little bit. You'll notice on my headset that if my monitor arm is up, it's a lift to mute, then I'm fully muted and I'll slap it down to comment. But if I am calling plays in the middle of a match, we didn't prepare right. The players have to have the playbook fully understood. The only time that I'll jump in is if I need to encourage more of something, if I need to validate what they believe, or if I've got some piece of information that they may have wrong. I get memed all the time because I've got a plastic play card, right, laminated on the big stages usually, and that's because we don't have the internet up there. I can't be scrolling my phone to find out what they played on on King's Row 2 weeks ago, you know, and how what they played into what we're playing. I have to have that with me, and so sometimes that's what I'll be saying, but most of the time it's just locking them into what we came to do.
And is there ever any trash talking? Because the school's never in the same room with you, huh?
No, or when we're on the big stages, and I mean the championship games, they're on stage with us. Yeah.
Okay, but if you're ever in your arena, they don't travel to you, right? That's usually like their
sometimes they do. We're going to do a home and home with Utah this year, so we'll go to them in the fall. They'll come to us in the spring.
Okay,
and I think we'll see more of those. We've had Air Force on our stage before. We've had Colorado State and Nevada a couple times. UNLV's been on our stage. Grand Canyon's been on our stage. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, we've had them for events.
And are they? And so when it's both
in the,
it's
the trash talking,
yeah.
The best trash talking to do is on the scoreboard because it's definitive.
Correct.
And everybody has a certain amount of energy. Honestly, if the opponent is chipping, I kind of smile at our players because we know they're spending energy that they don't need to spend.
Yeah.
Right. Like just let them do it. Just let them do it.
Yeah.
You know.
But it's real.
It happens. It happens. I mean, there's some videos of it just getting completely out of hand. We do not allow anybody to stand up and just point and shout and things like that. But an exuberant just jump out of your chair is fairly common on big stages because you're just so excited. Emiliano Flores, Dirtho, our world-class Rocket League player, is known to stand up and just flex because he's a gym rat and he's just got massive biceps.
Yeah. Get him a tank top or something.
Oh, he would love it if our jersey was a tank top. but on the aggregate, I don't know that we would be a great tank top team. They're all athletic, but but he's like full swole.
He's the guy.
He's yeah.
Okay.
I get very like Nick Saban vibes from this, and just like keeping that professionalism.
That's great.
On you, you got the rings to prove it. Like, it just kind of seems like that Nick Saban. Let the playing do the talking, kind of.
Yeah. Well, there's no better example than Nick Saban on how to take what you do seriously and controlling what you can control. That's 100% what it is, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's easy to get caught in the weeds on silly stuff like, oh, I thought of the perfect comeback for this. Like, it's a waste of time.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. Do your job.
Yeah. Do your job. We're on to Cincinnati.
On to the next game.
Yeah.
On to the next week.
100%.
So, for midseason, I guess preparation-wise, how are What does the practices look like? Is everyone kind of just kind of going against each other? Or are you in on practice at all? Or do you ever get on the sticks?
It's a bad sign if I have to play. Now, I can play all the games that we do, but you don't want insert coach name. I'm sure Coach Rice can drain a couple from three, but you don't want him out there trying to drain them from three. It's fun occasionally, right?
Uh-huh.
But our practices are the nice thing about esports is that we can scrimmage anybody we want. We can scrimmage pro teams; they don't have to come to us. We meet in the middle, right? In the game. And we have very specific things that we're trying to accomplish in practice, certain map rotations that we want to hit, certain plays that we want to run. Sometimes we'll utilize a practice squad on campus, other Boise State students who are kind of on the practice squad, so to speak, and we'll get to run some strategies against them in our playbook just to make sure they're ready and not visible and exposed for everybody to see. But we go week to week. We identify the next opponents. Coach K, which is Kelsey Mosier, mm-hmm. She's our Coach K. we're watching film on the other teams. We're identifying what compositions they run, how they like to retake points, and things like that. And we come in with that prep, and then let the players react to it.
So with the games you guys play,
yeah,
is it always alternating? Or are you focusing like on one game for a certain amount of time, next game certain amount of time? Like, okay, hey, like we got to gear up for Madden for so amount of time. How does like that scheduling and
fall is a great example. We play Mountain West in the fall. We'll play CFB 26 now, right?
Oh, nice.
Rocket League and Smash all in the fall. That's a Mountain West fall. And every week, whoever is our football opponent on Saturday, we're playing them in Rocket League on Monday, and then on CFB on Tuesday or Thursday, whenever it's scheduled, right? And
for CFB, do you guys play as Boise, like your own call? Like if you play Utah, do you play like Boise State versus Utah, or do you guys get to pick?
We do get to pick.
Okay.
But we almost always, Matt Wallace, who is our CFB player, he won a tournament on campus, and we scholarshiped him. Right, that simple. Matty Wallace is awesome. He's a manager for the women's basketball team as well. I mean, he's like all in Bronco. He's awesome, and he won the Mountain West title last year. One of the rings that'll go in the expanded ring box is the one that Matt won.
Really?
Yeah, he beat SJSU in the championship game right before it was outside. Right before the Mountain West championship game in football against UNLV.
Oh, wow.
They crowned him on the field. Gloria Navarez gave him the plaque and shook his hand on the blue. Yeah, that's like a real deal. But so we play the same school in advance of the football.
So it's kind of like a series.
Yeah,
you face a school, and then it's like, okay, this game.
And then we feed into playoffs. So in the Mountain West, we don't play everybody. So we maybe we miss Fresno State. But we'll see them in the playoffs if they qualify, and then it's just usually single elimination bracket.
Okay,
to a champion.
Yeah. Okay. So I guess the Mountain West, is it the same opponents as like a football or basketball? The Fresno State,
yeah.
Utah State.
All 11 teams in the Mountain West play in esports. Not all of them field every game, but everybody's represented. And last year we had Washington State and Oregon State, so we're excited to take them on starting next year.
Okay.
Yeah.
When does the season start?
Well, for us, it'll start when football starts.
Okay.
Yeah.
And when does the season end? Is it just like football season?
We kind of have two seasons. There's a fall and a spring. Some games, I mean, you can play the games all year round. There's nothing that would weather exempt. But it's usually 12 weeks fall, 12 weeks spring, culminating in big live finals at the end. So, I mean, we were in Vegas for the Power Esports Conference Championship, which we won the Rocket League and the Overwatch National Championship this year in those two games, and then what's called May Madness, which is it's a bracketed top 16 schools in any division that go to Arlington for that massive thing. I'm sure you've seen the footage of it. It's just a huge stage in Arlington,
and it's legit.
It's legit.
It's like, yep. Whoa. Yep. I'd get nervous just, walking around in that thing. I'm sure pregame, all your players are like, ooh.
You would if you let the moment be bigger or you focused on the outcome. as opposed to just focusing on the next step and doing that part well. I mean, it sounds so coach cliche, because it's true. Mm-hmm. It really is the focus. We play on a stage, so we're not intimidated by a stage. We play with piped in crowd noise and real crowd noise in our arena, so we're not flushed by that.
Nice.
And, yeah, and so it's just preparing for those moments that make the biggest difference.
And now, Doc, I want to know your personal top three video games of all time.
Oh, of all time. See, the problem is you end up having to pander to your audience a little because you want to hit something from different eras. Okay. So let me pander to my audience. In the arcade generation, I'm going to go Tron. The original Tron arcade game. Love it. I have about 10 arcade games. Some of them are at the arena downtown. Some of them are in my garage at home, and my wife is saying, can't those go to the arena? it's a hard thing to collect because they take up so much space and power. Oh, so Tron, classic arcade game. From the early console, you can't go wrong with Perfect Dark or GoldenEye. I'm just going to lump those in together.
Wow. Yeah,
GoldenEye 007, that's a good one.
All time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. I mean, that's when you learned if there was somebody who was an absolute degenerate screen peeker or not, right?
Yes.
Yes. I mean, you can put up with a lot of crimes, but screen peeking, you know, from someone you trusted, how dare you?
Yeah, and you knew too. Yeah.
You knew.
Okay, you're lying.
You knew. They couldn't deny it.
I was around the corner. You didn't know.
Obviously. Yeah. You pre-fired that.
Yeah.
Screen peeker.
You get the blanket tied halfway between the TV and your yeah.
Right now, I have to, by default, I can't choose Rocket League, Smash, Valorant, or Overwatch because they are primary games for us.
Fair.
And if I say one, the others will he hates it. So I have to pick something that's not in our current playability. For my money, I don't think there's any better developed game as far as just content than Fortnite, right?
Yeah, that peak was unbelievable.
They're still crushing with content. It's the best prepared game. Epic does a great job with that. We don't compete in it because it's not a very good college story, right? It doesn't mean we don't have great Fortnite players. We play it in the arena and we'll do tournaments in it, things like that. But we broadcast it too. But there's no us versus Ohio State version of that, right?
Yeah, because it's like it's just a lobby of 100,
right?
So I'm sure that's pretty tough.
Yeah, we finished ninth. You know, that's not a compelling story. It's kind of like it's kind of like how people care if we win a Mountain West track meet or we have individuals that win individual events. But saying we were third, even though that's an amazing story and a wonderful finish out of 11 teams. Mm-hmm. It's not a very compelling story. So it's hard. And we're responsible for telling our story with, broadcast. So just hasn't been one that fit. But
it's probably hard to judge that too, of being like, you had one game and you just happened to land on a hot spot. And
right. I mean, we've all done it. We feel pretty comfortable about Tilted Towers. And then we just got somebody just
annihilated.
Just, their 90s are just so slick. And you're just like, I'm dead now.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Now I have to sit here.
How do you edit and shoot at the same time? That person edited and he was like, oh, they must have macros. I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not the same kind of story as we're going into game 7 overtime and it's a next goal win scenario in Rocket League. That's exciting.
Yes.
Getting deleted in Tilted Towers is not.
So I've always been a big Rainbow Six.
Let's go.
Guy.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so I was going to say they've been doing fantastic as well the last decade.
It's a great game. And we've hosted and supported teams at Boise State in that game before.
Okay. I was going to say, I didn't know if you guys were going to ever bring that in, like to compete for a championship, or is that?
So it has really kind of solidified that the top four games in collegiate are Super Smash Brothers Ultimate, right? Rocket League. Cars playing soccer. All your listeners will recognize what that is. They probably even played it once or twice. Overwatch, which is a team, combat game, but it's cartoony violence, right? Mm-hmm. T-rated. We only play T-rated games because we can't recruit M-rated games. Like, where are we going to find the high school team?
That's actually a good point. I forget about that.
So the rating of it makes a big difference. In Valorant, which is, technomagic, but it's a like It's a plant diffuse type of objective game, just like Rainbow Six, right? Mm-hmm. It's round based. It's a lot for those of you who are a little bit older school. It's a lot like, you know, CS:GO. You know, it's that round based piece. We love it, but we don't recruit a team in it because there aren't enough colleges playing it. The four that we play are Smash, Overwatch, Rocket League, Valorant,
okay,
because that's what the majority of colleges play.
Okay.
Yeah.
That would make sense because...
And I think R6 has moved from M to T, hasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it didn't. It started M with a lot of blood splatter and things like that, and then moved back to T, but probably too late to grab a lot of the player base.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the round-based ones now, and we're so in the weeds here, audience is like, what? Yeah. no, but the round-based ones, Valorant just kind of took that over.
And yeah, it's very popular too.
Because it's a Riot title, and we're already invested in that universe. So
okay. I just had to, I was curious. Cause
no,
those,
I like
those,
it.
Those matches are always so fun to watch too, competitively.
They are.
Oh, that's edge of your seat stuff.
Where it is.
And it's so strategic with the operators. And
you got a 3v1, but they don't know where this guy is. He's about to get the drop on number two, but does he shoot number two until he can see number three, you know, so he can get them both? Or he's like, all these and different things.
You got to watch for the traps. Mm-hmm. You got to watch for the, you know, the...
Yeah.
Yeah, there's so much to it.
The best way to describe those games as a viewer is that you know more than the main characters do in the moment. And it's kind of like a horror movie. You know where the killer is. And you're just dialed, you're screaming at your screen, turn around.
Yes.
Yeah, it's kind of like that.
That's a good way to put it.
That's why it's so good. It's why those games are so much fun to watch. It's why they're such a good story. I mean, all sports are a vehicle for your endorphin rush, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the ones that are better at like setting that up tend to do better. Sorry, baseball.
Mm-hmm. Big baseball guy.
Me too.
Yeah.
But not the same level of just, you know, jump scare as a football fumble, you know, pick up, you know, run to the end zone.
It's like ninth inning is when.
For a scoop six. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. When it kind of gets really crazy.
And everybody loves baseball beef.
Oh, it makes the sport.
It does.
The Dodgers and Padres right now. Yeah. Oh, clear those benches.
You can't do it really well in esports, but one of my career goals before I retire is to get ejected. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to.
But just once.
Just one time.
Are there like refs or anyone that?
Yes. Yeah, but the games do so much of the regulation that they don't allow you to
yell at a ref and be like, come on.
I probably could. But the problem is, I know all the refs pretty well. We just need to orchestrate. I'm like, I need you to kick me out today, Chase.
Yeah.
I'm going to.
I don't know why. Yeah. I don't know what it is. You need to kick me out.
Yeah. I need to be able to just get eliminated without negatively impacting my team.
Maybe you need to wear all the rings and then snap.
I could do that.
That might be it. Maybe that's your Thanos, where it's like, hey, you're gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Showboating.
You subject yourself with a snap.
Yeah, exactly.
I could do it.
It's like the Jedi mind trick. The ref just goes, oh, you're got to go.
Yeah, you ejected me.
Yeah. Doc, question for you. I'm just personal curiosity. In your career so far, have you witnessed an esports injury?
Yes, but it's not the way that you would think. Travel can be an enemy to us because, I mean, you pick up a whole lot of junk on a plane, mm-hmm. right? And so we've had situations where somebody has gotten sick or scratched a cornea or, I mean, that sounds small, but when you're traveling with five players and you need five players to start, you got to fix that pretty quick. If we're traveling with subs, we have to make sure that people can adapt. That's one example of an injury. We've also, gotten separated from players because we don't get to fly on the big team plane when we go to places. We just get five and coach, let's go. And we've gotten separated from folks and we've arrived at a site where somebody missed a connection and we're trying to get them there. Yeah, it happens. It happens. I'm sure coaches of other games or sports or softball coaches have had something like that happen. So
of some sort.
It happens. People get sick on the road. Mm-hmm. We've had some like just small injuries. We've had people get weightlifting injuries that impacted their play and things like that.
Yeah.
Almost all the players that we have are from traditional sports in one way or another. A lot of them have played right up until the moment they come to college. They've been a starter on their football team or baseball team, and then they come to Boise State and they're like, I'm ready to be done with baseball, but I want to stay in Valorant. Yeah.
Wow.
It's kind of crazy.
That is awesome.
Well, they get the competitive, I mean, they get the competitive prep and the grind that they love, mm-hmm. But they're, you know, they're not in the batting cages. They're in the, you know, the practice range.
Yeah, and there's just a massive mental side to it too. I'm sure that they probably enjoy.
And they're usually really good at it if they come and they're fighting for a starting seat with us, right?
Okay.
That's the thing they want.
Anything mid game like a cramp or Charlie horse?
Yeah, I mean that stuff happens. Uh-huh. The players will tell you. I'm harping on. I mean the number of Cliff bars I've shoved in their faces when I can tell their blood sugar is getting low and they're like, no, I'm fine. I'm like, you're not fine and you're gonna cost us a round here. You're gonna make this harder for us. I need you to eat something. I don't care if you don't air quotes don't have breakfast. You know, I know how late we went to bed last night and you've not been to the restaurant because there's no restaurant in our hotel. Eat this now. Right? Okay. Have this Sunny D. When we get to stage, my job is chief water boy. Right, I'm making sure they have all the stuff that they need because that is sometimes the 1% difference between us and another top team. Are we just a little bit more prepared to go?
Yeah,
hydrated, a little bit more comfortable. It really is all marginal gains. Brailsford is right, you know, the little things make a difference.
So when the students graduate, Doc,
yeah.
What's your ideal trajectory for them, or is there usually? I mean, you got the professional, right? They can go pro, or what's your ideal trajectory for the students?
Well, we think of the NFL solution for our football players, but there's a small number that ever have that opportunity and even fewer that make that a career. You know, they'll get a chance to do it. Our players don't come in with the, I want to be pro, because pro can happen while you're a college player. Jonathan Foraker, clear, he's a world-class Overwatch player. He's played professionally for the last 2 years while going to school. His schedule is set up so that his online classes are during the world championship season. So he was in, Sweden last year. He was in Korea. He was in China. These 2 and 3 week trips.
Wow.
We turn over his competitive time for that experience because he's only going to get that for a little bit. I mean, name one 30-year-old professional gamer. it is very uncommon, partly because people they want to ring the bell in other things, right? They want to they're mm-hmm. interested in finance. They're interested in all these other things. But so we try to make that happen. But when they graduate, it's with whatever their degree is, and we see all the degrees. The most I say this all the time, and it's mostly just poking the bear. But the most successful Kellen in Boise State history is Kellen McGurkin, who is an Overwatch player, tank player from Moscow, Idaho. Mm-hmm. Came here 5 years ago and graduated last year as an Overwatch player for us. Has 4 Mountain West titles, 2 national titles. Wow. Arguably the more successful Kellen.
Is.
But he works for the Idaho State Legislature. He got a poli sci degree. He works for the legislature. He's going to run for office someday because he can. He's wicked smart, and he's awesome, right? So I used to say this a lot more, but it's always true, is that not all of our players that we recruit will become professional gamers, but every single one of them with their degree will become a professional. Mm-hmm. It's just what they choose to do. And it's all over the place. It's, you know, it's IT management, it's game design, it's finance. We've had so many economics. It won't surprise you when you really boil down and think about it, the number of economics majors we've had. We've got 2 students that are chasing MBAs right now that are they're playing for us. So
let's go.
Yeah, they're going to be pros. We do have a few pro players, but usually their pro time is while they're a college student, not after.
Okay, so yeah. Time is now.
Okay. We try to make that available to them. We want them to have that opportunity if it's a good opportunity, and we feel confident about the organization that they're playing with. It's just some kind of random, like, well, I've never heard of that group. I don't know any of the principals in that group. Then we might offer a word of caution. But other than that, it's like an Olympic year in esports every year. And if they've got a chance to play on the Olympic team, right, they then we want them to do that.
Yeah, that's
because you're not going to get that shot for 30 years.
Yeah,
you're going to get that shot for three.
Yeah, that's once in a lifetime.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
It's cool.
It's really cool.
Yeah,
Doc, and then for you personally, how long do you want to keep coaching for?
Because of my advanced age?
No.
How long can I do this?
Yeah.
Well, Ryan, hi. What was the question?
You can only put so many rings on both hands.
No, I mean, the thing that keeps me, I mean, I'm 54. I mean, I intend to stay Jeremiah Dickey willing at Boise State for the rest of my career. And I want to do this. I was, as I've said many times, a respectable faculty member, professor, teaching classes for 10 years. And then this started. But I like this better. I mean, it's a different vibe. It's a lot more work, but it's completely different. I mean, there's nothing. And I think every coach who's, Danielson will tell you this, any of our coaches at Boise State will tell you that there's this special snow globe of experience that happens when you and this group of people that you have chosen to come and be a part of your family. You're like, we're committed to be together for this many years, but also to be connected and friends for the rest of our lives. We had this one special moment on the stage in Dallas, or the stage in Vegas, where we overcame Michigan State to win this, or overcame Syracuse to win this. And those moments are just way too special. They're just, it's impossible to calculate. So I want as many of those as I can get.
Can't put a price tag on that.
You can't. Yeah, it's meaning. It's a level of meaning that I did not know coming into esports. It was just it's something I discovered along the way. I'm like, oh, this is too good. This is too good. Some people dread going to work in the morning. I sit up and I cannot wait to get going with our team, our team in our office and our assistant coaches and our production staff and all that. It's so much fun. It's why this move to athletics is like the greatest gift ever, because everybody knows it, but it needs to be said. Jeremiah Dickey is unbelievably special, and just get ready for the parade of big schools with bigger bank accounts trying to snipe him. And if he were not dedicated to doing something super special here, I think a mortal would have been swayed by now, and nothing is forever. He'll either retire or see an opportunity that is just too great for him to pass up down the road. But this moment is special, right? The old office line: how do you know? It's the good old days when you're in them. Wish I could know that.
Yeah.
It's now, and we need to appreciate it. I know that because we had Chris Peterson, and it was really special.
Yeah,
and we knew it wasn't forever. So I don't know. For Bronco fans, and you and I are Bronco fans, so yeah. We need to appreciate the moment that we have now with Cody Gogler and JD and that whole crew.
Yeah, absolutely nailed it. Because he could have left if he wanted to.
Yep,
and
he has something else to do here, right?
Yeah,
and that's pretty awesome.
You're right. Build the statue. He's the greatest thing to happen to this university.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there are going to be buildings named after him when he's done.
Yep.
And he is 100% the guy that you think that he is, and more, because he's striving to be that guy. He had me with, head, heart, gut, right? I was cooked then. It's like, well, it became my mission then. I wanted esports to be successful wherever we sat. But I was like, no, we need to be in athletics. That's the culture. That's the culture that our students need to be the best version when they leave here that they can. And it just flows through that building. I mean, folks may not have heard of, but we got to deal with intimately. Josh Bender just left for Ole Miss. He got a great job offer. Jeremiah Dickey's culture flowed through Josh Bender to us, right? It was just ever present. It's just amazing. Yeah. He's good.
He is something else. And just, he cares. You can see it.
Yeah.
Like, it's not transactional relationships. It's genuine.
Yeah. What you will win big matches, big games, and there'll be a text from him. He's dialed into what we're doing. We haven't even been part of his department. He's,
I love
he's
that.
Dialed in.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome.
One of the first, I ever got a message from him on my machine is that I was listed as a finalist for the position at Ole Miss. We mentioned Ole Miss. I wasn't really going. I wasn't really interested in it. But he and Dr. Trump found out, because they published it, that that I was on their list, right, of people they wanted to go after for their esports position. And he was in my, you know, messages real quick saying, you know, you're so valuable to us. We have so many big plans, and kind of gave me a variation of the lift where you stand speech, right? You know, you can do something elsewhere, or you can lift where you stand and mm-hmm. and move much bigger things. So, yeah.
And you did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm in. All in. Head, heart, gut.
Head, heart, gut.
Yeah.
I'm going to use that.
Oh, it's so good. We can't even talk about it because I'll get super choked up. But when he's given he's telling the football team about Spencer.
Yeah.
Right. Picture coach.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and everyone just shot up. He is your new head coach.
Absolutely.
Oh, it's, yeah.
And it flows to that whole space. I mean, you know, Lou Major. I mean, I can't list them all. There's so many great ones. I mean, mm-hmm. it's a special culture that we're really excited to be a part of. Open invite to anybody to come down and just walk through our esports facility. We have a 7,000 square foot space downtown. You've driven by it a million times and wondered what's in there. It's esports. We're right across from Trader Joe's, right downtown, 301 South Capitol. You just come up to the door. Usually afternoon is when we do open tours, and you're welcome to come in and see our arena, our training space, our studio, and just enjoy it. When you're ready to come watch a game, just search Boise State Esports schedule, and you'll pull up all the examples of it. So it's an open invite. We want everybody to see what we do, and everybody's welcome.
I love it, and they have phenomenal soft seating. They got bean bags too.
Oh, it's the real. Yeah, and I mean, we actually have actual theater seats in there now.
Oh,
yeah, you need to come again.
We were talking before we started airing.
Oh yeah,
I haven't been there since 2021. It sounds like it's a whole upgraded thing. They got a whole, you know, recording space too.
Yeah,
that we might take advantage of.
Oh yeah, we got a studio. Well, you need to come shoot one in the studio.
Yeah, or two.
Oh yeah, yeah, exactly.
And Sean's gonna be there too.
Damn. Yep.
And you guys will see his face.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Perfect
I'm like
timing.
The Wizard of Oz right now.
Yeah.
I love it.
Thank you again.
Of course.
Doctor.
You guys do such a killer job. I don't want to make this any longer, but people need to hear. There are a lot of people that just can buy a mic and I don't know what they pay Sean, but it's not much. But recruit a Sean to do this. But you guys do a killer conversation. I got hooked. I started watching Tyson's, and then I on to Mason's, and I'm going to go back through the catalog now that I know that you guys are doing this. You guys do a really, really good job. So I actually feel super honored to be able to do this with you.
Doc, that means the world to us.
You guys are good.
Thank you so
You're
much.
Legit good.
I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
Thank you. A lot of work goes into this, and, you know, I can't do it without Sean. You know, he makes it all happen.
I mean, you could, but you wouldn't want to.
It would be a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, but thank you again, you know, Sean. Thank you, Dr. Chris Haskell. This was a phenomenal episode. And, yeah, we're going to wrap up episode 161. Make sure to like the video. Check out Esports Schedule. We'll have some links in the bio for you. And
follow them on Instagram. You should follow them on Instagram. That's probably where all the schedule is, yeah?
They're everywhere. Everywhere.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
MySpace. And you can check out our Tumblr.
Yeah, see, really? I mean,
those don't exist.
Yeah, you'd have to dodge them if you don't want to find them. So, yeah, make sure to check out TakeOver15, the promo code for the merch.
Here we go.
We got shirts, hats, and more shirts.
Yeah.
So make sure to check it out. Thank you once again. Y'all have a good one, and take it easy.